Welcome to the Space Show, Simon.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Who came up with the term, the Big Bang?
It was invented by, by mistake, but that's maybe not quite right. It was the astronomer Fred Hoyle. Now, Fred Hoyle hated the Big Bang theory, and he was giving a radio broadcast for the BBC in around 1950, and he said, you know, I don't like this theory of a cosmic explosion. You know, how could the universe have started in a Big Bang? And he meant it as a sort of derisory throwaway comment, but the name just stuck. And ever since, the critics have used it and the fans have used it, and now everybody uses the phrase Big Bang Theory.
What were some of the earlier ideas about the origin of the universe?
Well, prior to the Big Bang, there were no ideas of the origin of the universe. The idea was the universe didn't have an origin because it had been here forever. So prior to the Big Bang Theory, you have the theory of an eternal universe, which is nice because if the universe is eternal, you don't need to worry about when it was created or how it was created.
But didn't the Judeo-Christian religion have the idea of a beginning, albeit then going on forever?
Oh, yes. I mean, every society has probably had its myth of creation. But scientifically, the dominant scientific theory of around 1900 was the eternal universe.
So how did we get from the eternal universe idea to the current idea of the Big Bang?
Well, it was a Belgian priest, a chap called Georges Lemaître, who was also a cosmologist, and he simply said, according to the laws of physics, it's possible that the universe was created. I mean, it's possible that the universe has been here forever, but you don't have any evidence for your theory. I don't have much evidence for my theory, but at least it's an option. And we should treat them both as possibilities until we have the evidence.
And did people have trouble accepting that evidence when it did come along?
Yes, I think, I mean, the very first evidence was if you look at the galaxies, they're all racing away from us, all the distant galaxies at least. If you look to the east, they're heading east. If you look to the west, they're heading west. That seems to be a good piece of evidence to favour the Big Bang. Big cosmic explosion throws everything outwards. But people try to defend the notion of an eternal universe. They would say, look, you know, the data's poor, the data's inadequate, there may be something wrong in the way it's being interpreted, maybe the photographs have been misaligned. People try to find holes in it because the first reaction is to hold on to what you know and love, which is the notion of an eternal universe.
One of the big proponents of the steady state idea was the British astronomer Fred Hoyle. Did he cling to that idea too long?
I think so. I mean, there were three proponents, really: Herman Bondi, Fred Hoyle, and Thomas Gold. Herman Bondi said, show me some evidence, show me a fossil, and then I'll believe in the Big Bang. Now, when those fossils emerged, metaphorical fossils, Bondi very quickly changed sides. I met Thomas Gold just a year ago, shortly before he died, and he was still really quite anti-Big Bang. He still thought that the whole thing was a wholly inadequate theory. Fred Hoyle, I think, had a similar view, although people I've spoken to who knew him towards the end of his life seem to suggest that he was mellowing in his attitude somewhat.
What was the final arbiter between the two ideas?
I mean, for me, the most compelling evidence, and I think the one that really switched sides, caused many people to switch sides, was the discovery of the cosmic microwave background radiation. So this is the idea that 300, 400,000 years after the Big Bang, there was a blast of radiation. The light energy was released from the fog of ionized particles. And as that light radiation spread through space, and as space expanded, it got stretched into microwaves. Now, when people saw those microwaves 40 years ago this year, it was published in the New York Times, when people saw that radiation, it really was convincing evidence that the Big Bang really happened. People predicted its existence. Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson, who discovered that radiation, later got the Nobel Prize. I think they got it in 1978. And that was kind of official endorsement that the Big Bang really was now part of the scientific establishment.
Now, your book, The Big Bang, is subtitled The Most Important Discovery of All Time and Why You Need to Know About It. Why do we need to know about it?
Oh, I think we just need to know about it because we're curious. We're humans. We don't need to know about it in the sense of staying warm or staying fed or being safe. But humans, you know, we're naturally curious. We wonder about where we came from, where the Earth came from, and where the whole universe came from. So I think it's just natural for us to ponder these big questions.
And your book is out now?
Yes, yeah. It's sort of been out for a few months now. It was in the New York Times bestsellers list, which was a great thrill. And I'll be going back to the States later this year. It's nice when you've worked on a book for so long to actually see it sort of in existence and see people reading it.
How do people recognise it when they go into the bookshop?
It's got Big Bang written all over it, and it's got a very lurid cover, which looks like a kind of pop art explosion. In America, the cover is much more conservative and much more serious, but I much prefer the pop art version.
And it's available here in Australia?
Oh, yes, yeah, no, absolutely. It's been translated into various other languages, and it'll take a little while to get to Germany and France and so on, but the English edition is now out and about.
And who's the publisher?
HarperCollins.
Thanks for joining us on The Space Show.
My pleasure. Thanks for sparing the time to talk.